How can you get a home when the bank says no? This podcast is dedicated to the 1 in 10 homeowners denied each year by the banks. Welcome to the Pre-Approved Podcast. Today we're going to be talking about a lease-to-own battle when the resident and the landlord do not agree what happens. So to caveat this, this is assuming that the two entered into some sort of lease with the purchase option and both were happy to sign that agreement, but now something's gone wrong. So we'll dive into what that might potentially be and a way to potentially resolve it. So setting the baseline, when this agreement was first entered and you look at both sides of the equation, the resident or the tenant buyer is trying to get a home with the exclusive option of buying that home so that the landlord doesn't sell it from them, doesn't make them move, build equity, the tenant can do improvements, and they are locked into that home for the foreseeable future. On the other side, the landlord or the investor is trying to sell a home with maybe not paying a real estate agent fee. Maybe they like the idea of providing a home for someone that just isn't going to be a normal rental where the tenants might normally trash the place or not treat it like their home. So they like this idea of getting someone into a home. They agree on a price, they agree on down payment, but then something's gone wrong between the two. In my experience, it usually comes from either unfair expectations both ways, money, or some contractual agreements not being met. So let's dive into those kind of in order. First, expectations not being met. There's maybe verbal expectations and written expectations. We want these two to align as closely as possible. So if the landlord says, oh yeah, sure, you can do that. Well, is it in the lease or is it in your standard option to purchase? If it's not in the written agreement, this is where things can get a little bit dicey. So when we look into making sure that everything that you do from a verbal and written standpoint, whether it's an email communication, a phone, a text, a signed agreement, make sure that your written and verbal agreements are ironclad and that they reflect each other. Because if you both agree on the verbal and the written communication, if something goes wrong, well, now you kind of get into the next phase, which is maybe misinterpreting of the information. Let's say that the agreement technically says, hey, if you don't make your first month's rent payment on time, you don't get monthly credits, or I can evict you and you lose your down payment. Now, if that's written in the agreement, there's the potential that that can be enforceable. And so looking at what options you have, not only in the written agreement, but overall city and state laws is where this is going to help both parties, because you can write something on a piece of paper and it's contractually true. But if you go back and look at, let's say, the century code for the state, or you talk with an attorney, there may be some differences between what's written on the piece of paper and what is actually enforceable under law. And so in general, people favor the agreement, but make sure that you're doing your homework check on other applicable laws to this potential problem. Money can be a big one too. So in most cases, if everyone's making payments, if the landlord is doing what they're supposed to be doing, the tenant buyer is supposed to be doing what they're supposed to do, there really isn't much of a battle going on. What I've heard from investors and landlords is the number one problem is people not making payments. And so if they don't make payments, we get into this weird spot of, should this be an eviction moratorium? Should this, you know, should you just give some forgiveness? What should you do as a landlord and investor? And speaking personally from having done these for multiple clients, our general rule of thumb is maybe like a one strike or two strike policy where it's like, hey, you know, you missed something, life happens, here's the path to correct it, and let's make sure we do that. However, if after 14 days or 30 days, something doesn't get corrected, well, then you move into the, okay, well, now you're, you know, a couple months behind. It doesn't appear that there's any plan of action. So now I'm going to, you know, move on to the legal system to figure out what options we have moving forward. From a tenant buyer standpoint, let's say there's some weird stuff that happened in your self-employed business and you just can't make rent for this month. Instead of potentially saying, hey, you know, I can't make rent and here's my plan to move forward, which is a great option if you want to present that to you know, your other party, the investor, the landlord in that situation, from my experience, that's much more well received than if you just don't make a payment and kind of just hope that it goes away. And so my suggestion would be is if you're going to do this, open up the lines of communication early so that you can say, hey, I'm going to miss this payment. Here's my plan moving forward. If they agree to that, well, then you've just bought yourself 2 weeks, a month, or whatever it is, and you've gotten that written down so that you're both agreeing on it. The last one I want to talk about is when you disagree on what the contract says and you want to make an adjustment to it. So let's say that you both agree that you're going to buy this home within 2 years. Well, 2 years comes and goes, and all of a sudden you're like, well, I don't really want to buy it, and I don't really want to move out, but maybe I want to rent it for another month or go month to month or something like that. So even though your contract doesn't say that you can, whatever both parties agree on, you can amend the contract and say, hey, if we want to go another 6 months, what would that take? Propose that between the two parties, and they say, hey, you know what? Let's just keep everything the same. Everything just gets extended 6 months. Great. Both parties agree. You sign something and you extend it. What would be a little bit tricky is if you just say, oh, yeah, that's fine, and they verbally agree to it, but there's nothing written down. Let's get something written down, or maybe there is an extra deposit that goes with it, or you get half of your down payment back, or some sort of mutually agreed upon middle ground so that you can get back into the realm of what both parties want to be in. Lastly, I'll just say sometimes one party is clearly at fault or one party is in the wrong. And this can be a frustrating situation where you have one person trying to do the right thing, the other person just being a complete, lack of a better word, bonehead on the other side, and they're not really, really willing to work with the other person. This is really frustrating, and that's where you need like a third party as kind of like an unbiased mitigator between it. No one really wants to get attorneys involved or a real estate agent or friends or family or other things, but sometimes that is just the only option when dealing with a crazy landlord or a tenant. Sometimes they're just unreasonable. You can't do anything about it, and that is your only option, is just to seek legal advice. And so this isn't me giving legal advice, but I would suggest that a real estate attorney or someone familiar with this matter might be the best person to go to. Hopefully you never find yourself in a legal battle. If you are, hopefully this can help you, and I look forward to talking with you on the next episode. Thanks so much for tuning into this episode. You can always learn more by reaching out to us at homeequitypartner.com. Have a good day.